Open our Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 6. Tonight I'll be reading verses 1 through 6 of this chapter, pertaining to the first few seal judgments on the tribulation period. The Word of God says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' Another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" Dearly beloved, tonight, we come to a passage which tackles head on the tribulation period. I don't believe we will have the time to actually tackle the seals that are discussed here in verse 6 and the last seal that is going to be discussed on chapter 8. But what we're going to do this evening would just be a backgrounder, a more like a big picture perspective of the tribulation period. So the title of our sermon tonight is The Tribulation, The Seal, Judgment. And our focus most probably will only be the first few words of chapter 6 verse 1. Where it says, "Now John said he saw that the Lamb opened one of the seals." Now we know from chapters 4 to 5 that the scenes here are focused on the throne room of heaven, wherein we see in chapter 5 there was a scroll. And this is really the jumping board of even chapter 6 all the way down to chapter 19, the tribulation period. And the scroll, as what we've said here in chapter 5, is the title deed to the earth. This contains the plan of God for the future for the entire earth. That's what we see there in verses 1 through 2. "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. So this scroll has 7 seals. And then John also saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?'" That was the next question. It's a seal. It's a title deed of the earth. What will happen to the earth in the future? Who is worthy to open it? Now, when they tried to find someone to open it worthy, verse number 3 says, no one is worthy to open the scroll. And so verse 4 says, John said, "I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read a scroll or to look at it. But praise the Lord, one of the elders said to John, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. So there is only one person worthy to open that scroll, a title deed of the earth. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's why the last portion of chapter 5 burst forth in praises and adoration and worship of the one who is worthy to open the scroll. You are worthy to take the scroll, verse 9 says, and to open its seals. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And also these words, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now towards the end of this chapter, everyone else joined the chorus with this last adoration, "Blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." There's nothing more to say, but so be it. Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So that's Jesus Christ, the one who is worthy to open the scroll. Now chapter 6 opens up that John saw the Lamb, Jesus Christ now here, the worthy one, opening one of the seals. This is now the beginning of God's judgment and wrath upon the earth. This is what we call this section six, chapter 6 through 19, the tribulation period. And we have here a timeline of the biblical prophecy that we find, not just in the book of Revelation, but also from the Old Testament and the other passages from the New Testament. So we are here at the 7-year tribulation, this section here. Okay? And this is the rapture right before that. And I'd like to say as a comfort, of course, to everybody that we won't be here on earth during this 7-year of tribulation. That's what we believe. We will be raptured before the wrath of God, before the 7 seals are going to be opened. The church of Christ will be taken out because the word of God says there is now no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So as a simple review, the rapture will happen right before the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. So he's talking to Christians, to fellow believers here, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, if rapture happens and you're still alive, if I'm still alive, what will happen is that the word of God tells us here, will by no means precede those who are asleep. Asleep here as those who are dead in the Lord. So those Christians who have died before us. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with a trumpet of God. So Jesus Christ will not really come down to earth. That's why we don't say that the rapture is the second coming. It's not. The second coming will happen after the tribulation period. Rapture is different than the second coming. Because Jesus will not go down and touch the earth. He will just be on the air and we will meet him there in the air. When the trumpet of God will be played and the shout of the voice of archangel will be heard. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So those who are Christians who have died before, they will rise first. Then if you are alive, if I am alive, we will remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord there in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. And this is the comfort. That's why Paul says at the end, therefore comfort one another with these words. We don't want to be here, dearly beloved. We don't want to be in that 7-year tribulation, especially the second half. That is even worse. So thank the Lord, rapture will happen before the great tribulation, the tribulation period, and it will happen like a what? Very quick. Like that. A wink of an eye. 7-year tribulation is 7 years, of course, but the rapture, very quick. Very quick. You're talking to me, I'm talking to you, and then we disappear. That's how quick it is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We will not all die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the word, that's the phrase that talks about how quick the rapture will happen. At the last trump. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. That's what Paul says in Thessalonians. They will be raised first. And we who are alive will be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So again, this is a comfort for us, dearly beloved. As Christians, no tribulation for us. And so, really, this is what we're waiting for right now. This is the next event that we're at the church age right now, and the very next event is the rapture. And it could happen anytime, dearly beloved. Anytime. Morning, noon, evening, midnight, we don't know. It can happen anytime. We must be ready. Are you ready? And so when that happens, automatically the 7-year event that will be next is the tribulation period. One author kind of gives a big description of tribulation. According to biblical prophecy, he says, the tribulation is a 7-year period that will begin immediately following the rapture. Evil will spread without restraint. The diseases, natural disasters, wars, and devastation we see in our world today are but a taste of the atrocities to come. Toward the end, the Antichrist will sit at the center of the tribulation's evil as he personifies Satan. There is nothing we can do to prevent the tribulation from occurring, but we can equip ourselves with a thorough knowledge of God's word. It reveals everything we need to know about earth's final days. Because just imagine this, dearly beloved. Once the rapture happens, a lot of people, Christians of course, will be gone. And can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine the devastation? Can you imagine that there will be a lot of professionals, medical practitioners will be gone. Drivers in the trains will be gone, maybe during the time that they were doing their job. And there will be a lot of accidents happening. Surgical rooms that were doing surgery, automatically the surgeon is lost. Nurses are gone. Can you imagine the chaos in the hospital, in the malls, in the factories, at workplaces? Maybe in churches at the same time, because I'm hoping that all of the people going to church are saved. And so, but maybe some are not. Some may just go to church because their parents come to church, or they would just like to be there because their friends are there. They will be so shocked that nobody else is doing the multimedia. The pianist just got vanished. You know, the guitarist is gone. Hopefully the preacher is gone too. Just imagine that. Airplanes, the pilots, gone. The captains on the ship, gone. You've seen what happened to the accident in, where was it? In the States, where a big ship from Singapore struck down that big bridge. Just imagine all the accidents happening at the same time all over the world, and now a big chunk of our population is gone. And who will do all the things that they have been doing? So the tribulation period, dearly beloved, will start with that note. We'll start with that, wow, terrible situation to be in. No wonder Jeremiah 30 verse 7 calls it time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 verse number 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he, Jacob, representing here the Jews, he will be saved out of it. And that this outlines too, basically, the purpose of the tribulation period. The tribulation period, another way of looking at it, why church will be raptured, because it's focused primarily on God's people, Israel. The tribulation period is very Jewish in nature. There's a lot of things that will happen that will truly pertain to the Jewish people. Now, the entire world will be affected, yes, but the focus of God's eyes are on His people. The apple of His eye, those who did not believe Him. Now He will refocus on them. He will never leave His own people. He loves His people. So this is His time. The 7 years will be focused there. So that's why it's called Jacob's trouble. Oh no, they're in trouble during these 7 years. Praise the Lord, of course, fast track. There will be people who will be saved. And Israel will really come to know their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Zephaniah also describes this event, the 7 year period, as the day of wrath. Look at Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets. Zephaniah 1:15 through 16. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. This really gave me chills when I was reading this. Like, I couldn't even think of this word to describe the tribulation period, but Zephaniah just nailed it down. He used all of his words that are great descriptions of what the tribulation will be. Now, if you go to the book of Daniel describes further, even gives us the timeline for the period of tribulation. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9:24 to 27. God's word says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war desolations are determined. When you have read these passages with me this evening, dearly beloved, we see the purpose and the time of the tribulation. The next slide would give us a simple explanation that we may understand what Daniel is talking about here as far as the tribulation period is concerned. So this passage speaks of 70 weeks. Okay, 70 weeks that have been declared against your people. Over and over again, you have seen that in this passage. Against your people, again, the Jews. So Daniel's people are the Jews, the nation of Israel. And Daniel 9:24, we have just read that, speaks of a period of time in which God's purpose is to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. God declares that 70 sevens will fulfill all these things. The sevens are group of years. So 70 sevens overall is, of course, 490 years. Now, some translations refer to this as 70 weeks of years. Now, in Daniel 9:25 to 26, the Messiah will be cut off after 7 sevens and 62 sevens. And we find it there. 69 total sevens, beginning with a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. In other words, as we're following this, okay, 69 sevens or 483 years after the decree to rebuild is issued, the Messiah will die. Jesus Christ gave his life to die, to be our lamb, to be the sacrifice for our sin. Now, biblical historians confirm that 483 years passed from the time of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem to the time when Jesus was crucified. This has been confirmed. Of course, we know God is sovereign. He is in control of all history. He is able to do this. Most Christian scholars, regardless of their view of eschatology, have the above understanding of Daniel's 77s. This is mostly the accepted view. Now, God said that 70 weeks had been determined, that 490 years. But with the death of the Messiah, we only have how many? 69 weeks accounted for. 483 years. This leaves 1 7-year period. And this 7-year period is what we have read here from Daniel chapter 9, verse number 24. This final 7-year period, here now, the Great Tribulation period, the tribulation period, is what we call, of course, that. But some commentators would look at the second half of the tribulation period as the Great Tribulation period. I won't debate you if you want to call the 7 years as the Great Tribulation period, or if you just want to call the second half. That's fine with me. But this is the time when, again, the focus of God is on Israel. He finishes judging Israel and brings them back to himself. Now, one author summarizes this, that the tribulation, again, is a 7-year period in the end times in which humanity's decadence and depravity will reach its fullness, with God judging accordingly. Also, during that time, Israel will repent of their sin and receive Jesus as their Messiah, setting up a time of great blessing and restoration, because, of course, after the 7 years of tribulation, we will have the coming back, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ together with us, the church. And then Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and Jesus Christ together with his church. If we go back, Patrick, to the former timeline, the first one, we will be reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. So that will be the event after the tribulation period. So, dearly beloved, this is an overview of the tribulation period. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. As we have this information and background in our minds, we go back to verse 1. John said, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." The opening of the seals now, especially the first one here, is the beginning of the judgment, of the tribulation, of the time when God will focus his eyes on the earth, but specifically on his people. I think we do have time to discuss the first seal. Let's go. Okay? So the Lamb opens up one of the seals. And John continues, he hears one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder. So this is no ordinary voice. This is no weak or soft voice. We know how thunder is. It's big. It's loud. It encompasses a big area of land where you can hear it for miles and miles. So this voice is strong. And the voice says, come and see. Come and see. And this call of come and see is repeated over and over again, even as more seals are being opened up. So John is given this opportunity to see what is going to happen. What is the judgment that's going to happen, especially as one seal after another is opened up. So John, of course, with his loud voice calling him, challenging him to come and see, he looks. He looks, and I looked, said John, and behold, a white horse, he says, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, this is now the first of the four horses of the apocalypse that will be enumerated here before us on chapter 6. Now, there is, of course, different interpretations of this. There are some people who believe that because of the mention of one, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it, that they believe this is a real person. These four people are real persons that will be responsible for these four judgments that will be opened up to the world. Another camp would be saying that even though the picture here is of a horse and someone sitting on a horse, this is more of like an event that would happen, a force that will happen. Like, for example, when the second seal is opened, and it says here, another horse, fiery red, went out. It was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. They're saying there's a lot of, instead of a real person doing this, leading this event, it's more of like devastation and dispeace and a lot of murders happening. There's just chaos happening. I don't know where you are headed towards your interpretation of this, but my interpretation of the first seal especially is that of that this person here is a real man, is a real person. And that the Word of God says he has a bow, he is holding a bow. And then there's a crown that was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. I'd like to say right away that this is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, in the picture here, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one opening the seal. He can't be the one opening the seal. He's the one riding the horse. No. Now I know you might be thinking, but this is the white horse. And isn't it mentioned that at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus Christ would be riding a white horse? Yes. But that is toward the end of the tribulation period. There is a second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's what you know. Jesus Christ, when coming down from heaven after the great tribulation period, he is holding a what? Not a bow like this person here. He was holding a sword. The sword will come out of his mouth, actually. So his weapon is not a bow. It's a sword. So this is not the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at the seals, we see that the first four seals, verses 1-8, takes place in the first half of the tribulation period. The first four. The fifth seal starts a little bit before the half, until the second half. While the sixth and the seventh seals take place during that second half of the tribulation period we call the Great Tribulation. Now, as we read further, of course, in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, basically going through the entire book, a big chunk of the book, we realize that this are not the only judgments that are coming. Yes, seven seals are opened, but the seventh seal contains seven further judgments we call the trumpet judgments. So this is magnified. Seven seals, the seventh seal will have seven more judgments we call the trumpet judgments, chapters 8 to 11. And then, as if that's not enough, the seventh trumpet will be played, and then it contains seven bowl judgments. And this is from chapter 16 all the way down to chapter 21. So the seven seals contain all the judgments until the end, until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Now, as a general observation, dearly beloved, looking at that, seven seals, then the seventh seal will have the trumpets, and then the seventh trumpet will contain more judgments, which we will call the bowl judgments. The tribulation period will be like a pregnant woman giving birth. It's like a woman giving birth, or it's in its labor stage. Wherein in the labor stage, I haven't experienced this. I will never experience this. thank the Lord for that. That they say it intensifies and it increases. The pain just intensifies. I don't know even where it is, or I have no experience with this. But you moms know what I'm talking about. Where the frequency of the pain will be intensified, and the pain just intensifies. Just like, I saw the video of Sue giving birth to two of my children. I can really sense it's really painful. But again, that's why some people really, really love, I've heard, men, OB-GYNs, because they don't understand, they're more compassionate towards women who say, give me something, it's really painful. Women OB-GYNs, I've heard from my classmates in pre-med, now they're doctors now, they said, you're gonna be fine, because I mean, they have gone through it too. That's the scenario kind of, apparently. But what I'm saying is, it's just like that. The tribulation period will have a sense that the judgments will get more intensified from the beginning to the end. And the first four is described as the beginning of birth pangs. So, relatively, this beginning here in chapter 6 is still not the big judgments that are coming. These are relatively okay. But if you look at it, it's really terrible. And we're saying this is only the beginning. So, verse number 2. The first seal is opened, and the seal reveals, that when it's opened, it's a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. I started out by telling you a while ago that this is construed sometimes as the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of that. It is a purpose why he looks like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this person would like to be, he would like to act, he would like to be the imposter of the real Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not. He's not Jesus Christ. In fact, look at the bow. He had a bow, but he had no arrow. And then the crown, it was not his crown. It's not coming from him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has his own crown. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Nobody needs to give him the crown. But this person was given a crown. And because of this crown, he went out conquering and to conquer. So this person here, dearly beloved, again, imagine, after the rapture happens, chaos, right? Big chunks of people all over the world will be gone. Professionals. Maybe people who are in the highest echelons of the society, of politics, of governance, gone. And because of this situation, because of just the sheer panic of people, the people of the world will need to be calmed down. The people of the world will need to be united. They need someone, right, to stand up and say, we need to do something. We need to be one. We need to unite our resources. We need to unite. Because if we face the coming days, we need to be together. Right? That's a common thing that somebody would say. And this is that person. This is that person. Now notice, first of all, nothing religious about this person. It's not a religious personality. Now he may be related to some religion, but there's no religion mentioned here. The first thing we realize here is that this person had a bow but doesn't have an arrow. In other words, this person will continue, even the words he went out conquering and conquer, will continue for all of his life under, of course, God's sovereign wisdom and plan for this person as his first judgment, will continue to have wars everywhere. Because I'm sure there are other people who will also would like to have that position, you see? Not just one person, like to be the leader of the world at that time. So he will need to prove himself. So there will be deception, there will be wars going on, there will be toppling down of important key personalities. And then a crown will be given to him. A crown means that he will be given authority and position. So we don't know exactly where this crown will come from. Most probably, since we know now that the world is coming to a point of one world government, the scenario here was probably that all of these countries that will be united will be the one to give him this authority, this power. And dear beloved, we're not shocked at this because nowadays we see that there's a lot of talk about erasing borders. Even when I was in high school, we were already taught that we are citizens of the world. Something like that. There are still teaching about us to be proud Filipinos. That was still strong. But at the same time, there's another teaching here from our social studies that really we need to think global. Okay? We need to think global. So we just don't need to think of our own country, and that is good, but we need to think of as a global citizen. Now, I don't know what that means, because as a global citizen, we will have the passport, but that's what they're saying. And so the aim here really, towards the scenario to happen, and for this to happen, is that nations, flags, will be no more. But there will be one big entity who will give this person a crown. You will be the one to lead us. Now, of course, towards the end, as we continue to learn about this person who will give a sort of peace, which is going to be discussed on the second seal, will actually not give peace at all. This person that will be given authority and honor and power will not serve the people. He will not. And in fact, instead of peace, he will go out conquering and to conquer. What does this mean? He will not be satisfied with the power, with the scope of his authority. He will continue to push boundaries so that those countries who may be a few who will stand their ground, oh, we will not join that. We are our own country. No. The word of God says this person will go out conquering and to conquer. There will be no stopping to this person. So add that, add the wars he will create, add the desolations he will create to the chaotic scenario after the rapture. Add all of that. What kind of earth will we have as far as political, as far as religious, economics, agriculture, industrial? What kind of world will we have during that time? This is the beginning of it. These persons sitting on the white horse will have a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. That's the first seal that will be opened during the tribulation period. What are we doing as a church during this time? Okay? Because I don't want to let you go home with that kind of thing. Oh, no! Well, if you go back, Patrick, please, to our second slide, we see that the people of God, having been raptured out of the earth, will have the judgment seat of Christ. While this is happening, the tribulation period, the first seal we have just seen opened, we are going to have the judgment seat of Christ. Wherein, of course, this is a different sermon altogether. But this just simply put a time where all our works will be valued, will be assessed. It will go through fire. And if it will survive through fire, that fire, they're not wood, hay, and stubble that will be burned. But it will survive like gold, silver, and precious stones. Then according to the word of God, those verses would tell us that we will be given rewards. And after that judgment, basically this is a rewarding time. Okay, it's either you have rewards or you lose rewards. Again, I'd like to emphasize there is no condemnation. There is no judgment in a negative sense for the people of God anymore. This is some sort of an Olympic awarding ceremony now. Okay, for those who have been running, my brothers and sisters, keep on running because we have a awarding ceremony coming. Then we will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is where we will be singing and praising God. Because now we will fully, by that time, we will fully understand what James said. That our suffering is but a moment. But our rejoicing will be forever. So I'd like to end with that note, dearly beloved. You may be suffering today. Tough times are ahead for you and your family. There's a lot of uncertainties in your life. But be comforted with that reality. This is just light, momentary affliction. Those are the words of the Word of God. Light, momentary affliction cannot be compared to the glory we have in heaven someday. So keep on running the race with patience. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Next time we're here, we'll discuss the opening of the second seal, the third and the fourth seals. And we'll see indeed that the judgments that will come about during the tribulation period will increase. Father, thank you that as we discuss these things, we are being taught of your plan, your title deed for the earth. I pray that this gives us comfort and strength. May this encourage us. This is not maybe or possibly. This is an assurance that we are already safe. You have saved us. And you will no longer condemn us or judge us. So Lord, may I pray for all of my brothers and sisters listening to this message tonight. That may this send us a deep resolution in our hearts to walk worthy of the Lord today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.